Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first commandment tells us, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And yet, it is our sinful human nature that we want to be our own God. And we resent the fact that God horns in on our territory. We want to be the rulers and the determiners of our existence. And we want to run the show of our lives the way we see fit. And this is our normal, sinful human nature. Then again, we have the 9th and the 10th commandment. The 9th and the 10th commandment, to sum it up, says, "Thou shalt not covet." That is, you are not to have sinful desires for things that belong to other people. Now, covetousness is the gateway into all the other sins against the 4th through the 10th commandments. Every sin begins with wanting something that we should not be wanting. And so, we rebel against rightful authority. We resent the very lives of those who have what we have. We want the people that we should not want. We want goods that we must not steal. And we are willing to lie in order to get what we want for us. So we got this situation where on the one hand, the first commandment tells us that we are not God. God is God, but we want to be God. And then the 9th and 10th commandment reveal to us that all the breaking of all the commandments really has something to do with having sinful desires for that which is not ours. Now, we have two people in our text today. We have a rich man and we have Lazarus. We don't know the name of the rich man. Why? Because the rich man went to hell, and therefore, his name is of no consequence. Because those who are in hell are utterly cut off from God and from the kingdom of God. So his name is not important. A sickly beggar like Lazarus, his name is important because though he is despised, though he is considered of no account, though no one would look at him and say, "There's someone you want to model your life after," nevertheless, he is a holy saint of God, a believer in the Word of God, despite the troubles of his life, despite his illnesses, despite all the setbacks in his life. Every day, somebody dragged him out and laid him at the gate of Lazarus in hopes that the rich man would feed him and in some way take care of him. Right, that was Lazarus's life, summed up in a nutshell. Yet, we know his name, Lazarus. He whom God helps. That's what the name Lazarus means. He whom God helps. Now, it didn't look like God was helping him very much. But the Bible tells us that when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What does that mean? It means that Lazarus had the seat of honor at the heavenly banquet table. You see that? That's what that means. The bosom of Abraham meant that he was sitting right next to Abraham at the heavenly victory banquet. So, what does that mean? It means all the troubles and trials and tribulations of this life fade into nothingness because Lazarus has a seat at the table of God's victorious glory. And so, his name, which was snickered at in this life, actually turns out to be more true than any of us ever reckoned. Meanwhile, the rich man with all of the pomp, all of the wealth, all of the advantage, all of the respect of his community, his name is of no importance because he died and went to hell. All right, now, what do we learn about this? It says that the rich man, he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That's not why he went to hell. All right? He was a rich man and he wore fine clothing and he ate rich food every day. That doesn't explain why he went to hell. It may be a contributing factor, but it doesn't explain it. So it says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So he is in the fires of hell, suffering everlasting retribution for his wickedness. And he sees Abraham far away, and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he cries out and he says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So the rich man, suffering the pains of hell, still treats Lazarus like a nobody. And he still thinks that it's Lazarus' job to do what the rich man wants. This guy thinks he's God. He's in hell, but he thinks he's God. And he thinks he has a right to talk to Father Abraham even, and to ask for Lazarus to leave the comforts of heaven and glory and come to hell with a fingers full of water to cool his tongue because he is tormented in this flame. So he thinks that he is worth that sacrifice on the part of Lazarus. Now, this too is not exactly why the rich man went to hell. It is a contributing factor in why he went to hell, but it's not the main reason. All right? Here is a guy, he's in hell, but he still thinks he deserves attention, he still thinks he deserves comfort, and he still thinks he deserves the service and sacrifice of Lazarus. Alright. So Abraham condescends to talk to him. And Abraham says to him, "Son, remember that," and this is an important verse, you have to hear the words, "remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things." In other words, your heart was set on certain good things. You sought them and you got what you were looking for. The problem for the rich man was he was looking for the wrong things. But what he was looking for, fine linen, clothed in purple, fared sumptuously every day, what he was seeking, he received it, and he received it in spades. So Abraham says to him, you received everything you sought in your life, and now you're tormented. Why? Because you sought the wrong things. You set your heart on what the heart should never be set on. All right, another contributing factor. And notice the difference, he says, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. Lazarus suffered in this life. He was deprived of many outward blessings in this life. But Lazarus had faith in the Word of God, and Lazarus is now at the heavenly banquet table enjoying the glory of the Lord. All right, so essentially what Abraham says to the rich man is this. No. All right? No. And then the rich man, like a true sufferer of a narcissistic personality disorder, the rich man says he doesn't give up. He's got to maintain his advantage. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now, this is said not so that we could draw the conclusion that maybe there's still something good in this guy. He cares about his brothers, and he wants to see his brothers avoid hell. That's not the reason why Jesus reveals this request. The reason why he reveals this quest is to show that this man's idea of religion is utterly corrupt. It's like, you know, the Christmas carol. You get a visit from the ghost of Christmas past, ghost of Christmas present, ghost of Christmas is yet to come, right? And hopefully, if you spook my brothers, they will come too, and they'll avoid coming to this place. So the reason here to reveal this is not for us to go, ah, the poor rich man. He still has a heart of gold. He cares about his brothers and doesn't want them to come to hell. No, the point of the text is that this man's religion, such as it was, because many ungodly people have religion. They just have a corrupt form of religion. And so, he wants Lazarus to leave the comfort and the glory of the heavenly banqueting table and go back to this veil of tears, trouble, and suffering and scare the daylights out of his brothers, so that they will straighten up and fly right and won't come into this place of torment. And Abraham has two responses. The short answer is no. Again, no. All right? Because that's essentially the state of those who are in hell. There's no hope. All right? There's no hope of salvation for anyone in hell. And so the answer is always no. There is no answer to the prayers of those who are damned. Anyway, what he does say, however, is instructive for us. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What he's essentially saying is, they can go to church on Sunday and hear the Bible preached upon by the local pastor. And they can worship the Lord in church and they can hear the Word of God. The regular, divinely appointed ministry of Word and Sacrament. Just like what's happening here. When it comes to the salvation of the soul, it's not the great acts of drama that save the soul. It is the regular preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the regular administration of the sacraments in the gathered assembly of Christ's people. And that is where the salvation of the soul takes place. That is where the Holy Spirit is present. That is where the Father and the Son are present. That is where the grace of God is offered and delivered by the chosen means that God has appointed for these things. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 30, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And here you see, this is the reason why this guy is in hell. Because all of his life, and still suffering the pains of hell, he has despised and rejected the ordinary, regular ministry of the Word of God and the blessed sacraments which Christ has instituted. The ordinary stuff of church that is given and that blesses the godly every week, regular as clockwork. This man, all throughout his life, he has despised these things and thought them to be useless. And he's in hell, and he still thinks that they're useless. Because remember, he's a guy who thinks that he's really God. And he thinks that he has a right to what is not his. And even in hell, he wants Lazarus to be his personal servant. And so he has all of his life despised the regular ministry of the Word of God and the sacraments. And that's why he's in hell. We all struggle from time to time with covetousness. We all struggle with the first commandment. We want God to do what we want him to do. And if he's not going to do what we want, we don't really care that much about him. We struggle with all the commandments at different times and various ways in our life. We all struggle with the commandments. We are nevertheless saved by grace through faith in Christ as a free gift without merit or worthiness in us. So, it wasn't the fact that this guy wore rich clothing and ate rich food. It wasn't the fact that he was self-centered and narcissistic. It wasn't the fact that he had a screwy religion, right? All these things are contributing factors. But the fact is, the core thing is unbelief. The core thing is when our hearts are moved away from the Word of God, and when our loyalty is placed somewhere else, and we begin to slowly consider the regular faithful ministration of the Word of God to be a lower and lower priority until one day we wake up and we realize that we have fallen away from the faith. It's at that moment, even before that moment, we must repent and remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus had problems, but he had God's promise, he had God's grace, he had God's help in Christ, and when he died, he sat in a place of honor at the heavenly banqueting table in the Messianic age. The rich man had every opportunity to be faithful. God blessed everything that he did outwardly. But he hated God's word. He despised the ministry of the word. He separated himself from it. And he lost whatever faith he ever had, was corrupted by his sins and by his false faith. So today, as we look at these things, it's no wonder why the hymn of the week is O Word of God Incarnate. Because this is really about the ministry of the Word of God and the presence of Jesus wherever his word is preached, taught, read, heard. Jesus is graciously present with his saving gifts. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.